This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on achievements of Make in India's initiative. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, economic analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor.
I'm joined by Shubhamoy Bhattacharya, who is an economic analyst, and today we will discuss about Make in India, which gained traction in 2014 as part of the policy of the first term of our Honorable Prime Minister, Shri Narendra Modi, and that has continued all the way till date into his third term as well. Let us listen to what Prime Minister of India, Shri Narendra Modi, had said on the completion of 10 years of Make in India initiative.
Ek taraf manufacturing growth ko badhana hai, at the same time, uska seedha benefit Hindustan ke naujawanon ko mile, use rozgar mile, taki garib se garib parivar ki aarthik sthiti mein badlav aaye. वो गरीबी से मिडिल क्लास की ओर बढ़े और उसका परचेजिंग पावर बढ़े तो मैन्युफैक्चरर की संख्या बढ़ेगी, मैन्युफैक्चरिंग का ग्रोथ बढ़ेगा, रोजगार के अवसर उपलब्ध होंगे, फिर एक बार बाजार बढ़ेगा.
वी ट्राई टू अंडरस्टैंड फ्रॉम दिस डिस्कशन विद शुभमोय इन टर्म्स ऑफ द गेन्स दैट इंडिया हैज मेड, व्हाट हैज बीन द प्रोडक्शन आउटपुट, व्हाट हैज बीन द अदर डेवलपमेंट्स इन टर्म्स ऑफ फॉरेन डायरेक्ट इन्वेस्टमेंट, एम्प्लॉयमेंट and GDP growth in the economy as a result of Make in India, Atmanirbhar, self-sufficiency, and more importantly, the import substitution strategy with which Make in India actually started. So Shubhamoy, a warm welcome to you on the program.
Thank you.
So do tell us about the import substitution strategy of our Honorable Prime Minister, Shri Narendra Modi, right from his first term in office all the way into his third term. How important is it to reduce reliance on overseas markets for key imports and also save on valuable foreign exchange?
Make in India, as you rightly pointed out, had its genesis from 2014 when the government came in, basically said that we want to promote this as our long-term objective. Such a major objective would have different parts to it, different aspects to it. Import substitution was one of the important parts of it. So I look at import substitution not as a final result. I look at it as a process that has happened over the years. There are some sectors where import substitution has been typically difficult. One of those is typically energy. We used to import about 82% of our oil and gas. Today, actually, it has gone up closer to 86-87%. So if you look at it in that way, it definitely hasn't come down. But then the correct way to look at it is the rise is because the Indian economy since 2014 to 2024 has gone up so significantly from 2 trillion economy to something like a 4 trillion economy now that it is quite inevitable that the energy consumption of the economy would rise. In fact, we are also importing a lot of coal now. If you look at the energy imports, the interesting thing is that while at one stage, fluctuations in global market, the prices of energy products used to create a big problems for us. Today, fluctuations by an order of something like $20 to $30 per barrel does not create any problems for the Indian economy. And the Indian economy actually in the last couple of years has been able to handle this challenge very smoothly. And the interesting thing is that the Indian oil imports, which actually used to be looked at as a pain point, have turned out to be something which is something for us for a satisfaction. How has it happened? Because oil imports from Russia, which had been prescribed by Europe, now largely travel the Indian market. So there is a huge sort of stability to the global market, which has been created by the Indian refinery industry.
So Shubhamoy, my question to you is now on the latest data that's come out as well on the PMI manufacturing for the month of December. It has exceeded on a month-on-month basis 57.4. Anything above 50 is supposed to be where manufacturing has really done well. So how do you see manufacturing actually pick up under the schemes of the government? And I would like for you to focus on PLI, the production-linked incentive scheme. Has this been a game changer for India?
Yes, let's look at first of all the monthly PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index. Essentially what it does look at is it is a forward-looking survey. It surveys production managers to see how do they expect their sales in the next month to sort of pan out? And what it is showing is that month on month, not only for this year, but for the past few years, it has actually been rising consistently. And as you pointed out, it has been rising across the board. So earlier, if we say take the period just after COVID, which is a very traumatic and a difficult period for India, the expansion was happening only in the government departments or the government expenditures. And in production also, we were seeing just production happening in government-related sectors. What's now happening is that the capacity utilization of all companies has started to expand and is consistently expanding, which is why the number has not only been up, but against the expectations of many economists who had said that this will actually dwindle as the post-pandemic phase goes out, people's revenge buying goes off, and you know the economy faces headwinds. But as you pointed out, it has consistently been rising. And not only that, if you compare it with, say, neighbor like China, where you find that the numbers are actually in a much more difficult condition in terms of the same, using the same ratio. Here we are seeing an expansionary phase which is holding steady, and not only holding steady, it's holding very strongly steady, which means that the manufacturers not only anticipate that they are in a good spot now, they also anticipate that this continued utilization of the capacity is going to be sustained. So that's very important. Now that brings us to what is the role of PLI. The production-linked incentive is not meant for the same thing. That is not meant for utilization in the existing capacity. That is meant for the 13 sectors where the government has rung in PLI. These will be sectors where companies will go in for fresh greenfield investments, expanding their capacity to bring in more production into the market. Now, that is where initially, as was rightly expected, the offtake wasn't very high across every sector. Now, after the span of almost 3 years, we are now seeing that the production-linked incentive scheme, there are a larger number of companies which are asking for the incentives to be paid to them because they have cleared the hoop in terms of bringing in additional production into the market. The most standout is, of course, the electronic sector, including especially the mobile and the associated items, but in also other difficult-to-raise sectors. And I'm talking about sectors as difficult as food processing, which is very differentiated. In these sectors also, PLI is seeing an offtake, which means that there is a clear sign that the companies find a very good reason to expand their production. PLI, as part of Make in India, was a very different scheme from other schemes earlier. The other schemes basically said you invest and we'll give you money. There's an investment subsidy. And the investment wasn't clear about what is the sort of investment that should be done. PLI picks winners. It has picked 13 sectors. And in these sectors, companies have to show clearly what is the additional production that they will bring into the market. So it is very clearly directed and it is not a tax subsidy where you can, some extent, play around with figures.
What are the other benefits from production being increased under PLI? Or even if you look at other indicators like PMI, job creation, skilled employment into the economy for the success of industry?
Well, the answer is that most of the heavy duty work of bringing in capacity in the manufacturing sector has started working, has started developing. The incentives like PLI have started showing results in terms of addition to the capacity. I expect going ahead in 2025 and 26. That we will see actually a change in the percentage of manufacturing as a percentage of the GDP towards higher numbers. Along with it, other corresponding sectors, which are intermediate between agriculture and manufacturing, like food processing and others, will also be seeing a larger traction. And that is where we would be seeing change in the nature of the GDP. Now, what does that mean in terms of, as you said, in terms of employment, in terms of sectoral composition? Sectoral composition, as we have said, we are now looking at more products which can employ more people. So mobiles, semiconductor, assembly, the entire gamut of electronics sector. Electronics sector is a very employment intensive sector. Food processing sector. These are the sectors where people get drawn in very quickly, and therefore there is a very fast employment potential. The other sector where we are seeing, of course, a rise is commensurately the construction sector. As infrastructure build gets bigger and bigger, and we are looking at infrastructure build of something like 114 trillion till 2030, that means about in 5 years, this is a massive amount, because 114 trillion is rupees. If you look at it, Indian economy right now is about 200 trillion. So we are talking about adding one economy the size of India to the entire thing. So these are very substantial developments that are happening and which will be impacting the economy very soon.
So Shubhama, you spoke about civil infrastructure under the PLI scheme as well. You have the Pradhan Mantri Gati Shakti scheme as well. For defense, you have DPSUs, licensed MSMEs benefiting from that, supplying goods and services. So for textiles, you have the Pradhan Mantri Mitra. Then you have Samarth for capacity building. In railways, we've seen the Vande Bharat trains and the Kavach systems play a very important role in terms of production capacity. RBI's projection is 6.6% for the financial year 2024-25. Do you agree with this projection? IMF has given a higher projection of 6.5%, even as high as 7%. What's your take on the projection and productivity in the economy?
Productivity was, of course, rising. There's no doubt about that. The projection of GDP for this year is almost baked in. RBI projection of 6.6% seems more or less already into the economy, because the last quarter will have to actually carry the lag effect of the previous two quarters, especially the second quarter. So therefore, we don't have much space there. So therefore, this year will end up at 6.6%, which makes India probably the fastest growing economy among the large economies.
Let us listen to what Honorable Prime Minister of India, Shri Narendra Modi, said on the Global FinTech Fest held in Mumbai, highlighting India's FinTech revolution.
Kabhi log kehte the ki cash is king. आज दुनिया का करीब करीब आधा रियल टाइम डिजिटल ट्रांजैक्शन भारत में होता है. हम ऐसे प्रोडक्ट तैयार कर रहे हैं जो लोकल है लेकिन उनकी एप्लीकेशन ग्लोबल है.
Shubhamoy, do tell us about foreign direct investment into the economy. It has now gone up to $42.1 billion only for the April to September period, and manufacturing, financial services, electricity and energy have a two-third share in that from multiple sources like Singapore, Mauritius, Netherlands, UAE and the US, which have a three-fourth share in FDI. How important is investment, especially into the PLI schemes for manufacturing?
PLI schemes largely ask for Indian investments. That is where we would be expecting India-based companies to actually make their mark. Once those companies are up and running, obviously they'll be prime candidates for attracting foreign investment into those sectors as additional capacities. We would also be seeing foreign investment in lots of other sectors. Like in semiconductors, we have started seeing massive projections of FDI. So we'll be seeing that. We should also be seeing similar things in port sector. That's one sector where it has been quiet. And that will be a very major game changer for India. As such a large economy starts building steam, the production capacity will need to be integrated with the world economy. FDI numbers will be gradually ramping up, as after a long period of stasis, that's where you see the economy as it becomes mature and faster.
Well, thank you so much, Shubhamoy, for giving us a detailed understanding of what Make in India is from 2014 till date in terms of what it means to be Atmanirbhar, self-reliant, the PLI scheme, digital payments as well under UPI, exports to 200 countries, engineering goods, and then, of course, foreign direct investment, all leading to an RBI projection of 6.6% for the current financial year 2024-25. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on achievements of Make in India's initiative. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, economic analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.